Let's start with what we mean by design. And, you know, but design for me is about identifying a real problem in the real world, in its context, and finding a suitable solution for that problem. And if you think of it, you know, where, I mean, you were talking about the good and the bad. A lot of what I see on the bad side is, you know, hammers looking for nails, is, you know, solutions looking for problems. So when we say we want to switch people to a design thinking mode, say, no, you first have to identify the problem and describe it very clearly, understand the context in which that problem occurs, and then develop a solution for it. Design patterns are, in a way, a very powerful tool for encapsulating design knowledge, i.e. the knowledge about what are the problems that occur in a certain context and what are the known methods of solution. So, you know, in a nutshell, that's all a design pattern is. It's a triplet of problem in context and a known tested solution for that problem. Now, they also serve as kind of a mediating or a bridge, or if you like, a boundary object between theory and practice. So they actually facilitated that really missing link between, you know, what we know as learning scientists and what people on the ground are trying to achieve.
Okay, I'm going with that lot. But the question I've been hitting, because actually on both the Learning Layers project and another project I'm involved in, we're trying to use design patterns. Why do they always have to be problem-based? Maybe I don't have a problem.
Well, if you don't have a problem, then just sit back and relax. So I think, you know, problems have a bad name. You know, problems are not bad. You know, if you're a designer, actually you like problems, because that means that you have a bit of work to do. Now, a problem doesn't mean necessarily things are awfully wrong. It means here's something that we can do better. So the problem for me is, you know, say I identify an educational situation where I think, okay, you know, things are 80% okay, but I can maybe make them that 20% better. How do I do that? What are the obstacles I need to overcome? That would be the problem definition for me, right? So, you know, sometimes, you know, I find with educationalists, it's better to talk about challenges rather than problem, you know, kind of a software, more positive term. But for me, it's one and the same.
Okay, it might just be in the English language. Problems have the national health system is collapsing. The problems that the UK is declaring war all over the place. Problems probably have a negative connotation. But then coming on, I was talking about design patterns about 12 o'clock last night in the pub. So that shows you. I'm interested. But someone made the point, look, Graham, you don't think this is really new, do you? We've been talking about patterns in learning for 20, 30 years. So why is suddenly design patterns being given this thing? It's a new thing.
It's not new at all. So, first of all, design patterns originate from architecture in the late 60s. And they were adopted by software engineering in the 80s. And they were actually pretty quickly, we saw the first pedagogical patterns project, you know, was about 20 years ago. So patterns have been present in the discourse around education and education technology for a long time. But for some reason, you know, it just took us, this exciting thing at the moment is perhaps that they're being mainstreamed. And that's a big difference. Now, we have to be careful. Also, people talk about patterns, not necessarily about design patterns. So people talk about learning patterns or patterns of behavior. And you know, in Layers Project, we were talking about, on one hand, patterns of practice, about how people actually do things, which is very important to capture. And on the other hand, design patterns, which are actually about how you change things. So we have to distinguish between identifying patterns in the way things are done and patterns in the way things are changed.
That's useful distinction. I've not thought of that. Naturally, that does simplify stuff. Where do you see this whole design pattern stuff going in the future? And then we're going to have to move on because I could talk about this all morning, but we've got a great queue of wonderful guests here. All the good of educational technology is here today.
Well, I think, as I said, I see a potential for finally mainstreaming the idea of design patterns and using them to establish a design discourse in education. So rather, you know, instead of hearing people again and again either tell us anecdotes about this is what I did in my little classroom, you know, in the outback, or giving us these grand theories that sound great but nobody knows how the hell to apply them, actually getting into that middle level of having some discourse that's generalizable and applicable at the same time. Once we establish that as a mainstream, then I think patterns can also help us mediate between, I said, practice, research, but also data. So, you know, we have a lot of excitement about learning analytics, but one thing that learning analytics still doesn't get is the learning part. And I think design patterns can give learning analytics something to chew on. So that's a kind of an initiative I'm involved in at the moment, but, you know, we can maybe talk about that next year.
I hope we were talking about that before then, but I love that idea, something we can chew on in learning analytics, because it's proving very hard to swallow learning analytics at the moment. Thank you very much, Ishay.